Chapter 15. Prisoner's Escape. During his last visit, the Inspector General of Prisons, Baba Jeevan Singh, gave written orders that the political prisoners, whose behavior was good, should be sent to special cells and they should be free to move about it in the prison compound during the daytime. He even wrote down the names of some prisoners who were to be sent to the special cells immediately. My name was in that list. We were to be completely unchained. He ordered chains around my feet and hands to be taken off immediately in his presence. I was the first to be chained by the prison authorities, and I was also the first to be unchained. But Jailer Vadvaram did not send me, or those whose names were suggested by the Inspector General, to the special prison cells. On the other hand, he selected notorious prisons, like Natha Singh, to be taken to the special cells. When bad days are ahead, a man starts digging a pit for himself. He selected 19 prisoners to be transferred to the special cells and unchained others, taking his own time to do so. Many were kept in fetters, but he did not send the majority of the political prisoners to the special cells. He did not send a single person to the special cells out of those whose names were specially recommended by the Inspector General. He considered me his sworn enemy, so he started torturing me all the more. Those who were taken to the special cells were also not treated well. He started cutting down my rations and misappropriated our ration funds. He started mixing sand or mud in flour. The water of Hazaribagh was already bad. Contaminated water and adulterated food began to damage everyone's health. When the situation became unbearable, all the political prisoners made up their mind to teach Vadvaram a lesson. At first, we verbally warned the jailer and the superintendent to desist from actions over which they have to repent and wrote a serious complaint to the Inspector General through the prison authorities, but after weeks of waiting, we learned that it was never sent to the Inspector General. We had warned the Inspector General that if Vadvaram was not immediately transferred, something serious might happen, as the ill treatment accorded by this man to the prisoners had made them quite desperate. When no reply was received from the Inspector General, 18 prisoners of the special block made up their mind to break loose their chains and attempt to escape from the prison. It was February 1918. I was in the hospital. These prisoners sought my consent through a letter sent to me secretly. I strongly advised them not to attempt an escape at that moment. I told them that the World War I was about to end. Whatever be the end of the war, many political prisoners were likely to be released. One or two might be detained for a longer period, but most of the prisoners would certainly be released. It was better to fight for the release from within the prison than to lead the unhappy life of runaway convicts all their life. I also received a message from Bengali political prisoners that I should request these 18 Punjabi prisoners not to plan an escape. They should wait at least up to Holi Festival, a festival which falls in March. After that, they would contact some people outside and plan an escape. I conveyed the message of the Bengali prisoners to my comrades. I was sure that they would not attempt an escape without an unanimous decision, but a Rajput prisoner named Kesari Singh happened to taunt the Sikhs, saying it was easy to talk about escaping, but it was not possible to do so. Reacting sharply to the reproach, the Sikh prisoners of the block at once decided to show Kesari Singh that they could escape that very night. The same evening, I was discharged from the hospital and came to Punjabi cell number 3. I was almost sure that the prisoners had given up the idea of breaking the prison and escaping for the time being. I could not imagine that they would decide to attempt to escape so suddenly. In the evening, just after supper and prayers, I received a message that the national greeting, Sat Sri Akal, should be uttered immediately after the Ardas, as loudly as possible. Only a few minutes earlier, the superintendent and the jailer had come to me and told me that if we stopped shouting this Jaikara loudly, then all the prisoners would be lodged in the special block. I immediately sent a message appealing to all prisoners not to shout the victory cry that evening loudly, so that all could get together the next day. I do not know whether I received this message or not, because at the time of sending message, the lockup for the night was about to take place. If they received the message, they disregarded it. How could they listen to such advice now, when during the daytime they had made all the preparations to escape? We were completely ignorant of the plans. As usual, I got up at 2 a.m., took my bath, and Bhai Atar Singh, who was in a prison cell close by, started reciting the Pavan Khari, Guru Arjan Dev, acrostic. My mind soared high in the upper planes of consciousness, and I began to hear the recitation in that state. As soon as the recitation was complete, I saw a strange vision, which at the moment appeared to be a real incident and not a vision. I saw that the door of my cell was open, and four people, Bhai Hira Singh, Bhai Sucha Singh, and two others standing outside my prison cell, were trying to come into my cell, but were unable to do so. As they were not able to come inside, I made up my mind to go out and meet them. As I rushed out of the prison door, the bars of the prison cell struck hard against my forehead and caused injury. I then realized that it was only a vision and the prison door was locked. In another minute, Bhai Hira Singh and Bhai Sucha Singh came there and tried to unlock my cell, but they could not find the right key. I asked them what I saw was a dream, vision, or reality, because a minute ago they were not there. They asked me to get ready to escape. The prisoners of the special blocks have all come out of their prison cells and are waiting for you to escape with us, they said. One of these comrades carried a lamp and the other had a bunch of keys. They were trying hard to open the lock of my prison cell but could not do so. When we examined the keys, we found them to be keys of the inner and outer doors of block number 2. I asked them not to waste their time but make good their escape. Two of them ran to the special block to get the right keys. At that very moment, the prison alarms alerted all the prison officials and armed guards. They then asked me what to do. My first suggestion was that they should go back to their cells and stay there. God perhaps did not will that they should attempt an escape at that moment, but it was now difficult for them to even go back to their cells. Armed guard was rushing towards our block. I told them, "You have already become absconders. If you are not able to go back to your prison cell, make good your escape by jumping over the nearest boundary wall, but be careful when you jump. Go down the wall cautiously and avoid causing any injury to yourself when you jump down on the other side of the wall." They all rushed to the boundary wall, which was not far from my prison cell. The wall was very high. Three people had to stand on one another's shoulders to enable the fourth one to reach the top of the wall and jump down on the other side. Led by the Tilakdari Brahmin warder, armed sentries came to the spot. A Sikh who had reached the top of the wall shouted to his comrades, "Why are you wasting your time? Now is the time to throw hand grenades and destroy them. Why do you hesitate? Any weapon at a critical moment is more useful than a bomb." They had no bombs, of course. Bhai Gujar Singh lighted the matchstick and immediately threw a heavy lock at the armed guards. It was aimed at Brahmin warder and hit him in the face. He took to his heels. Another matchstick was lighted. At the very stark spark of fire frightened the Bihari policemen so much that they ran for their life, leaving the patriots free to make their escape. Excited with the courage and heroism, the prisoners jumped down from the top of the wall in hot haste, and all the five or six who did so received very serious injuries on their feet. Some of them received such severe injuries that it was impossible for them to run. Others came down the wall a little cautiously. Bhai Inder Singh was the first to land safely on the ground. He had just landed when four armed guards surrounded him and caught him. The wounded Sikhs could not bear the sight of arrest and beating of Inder Singh. One of them, Bhai Lal Singh of Narangwal, finding his comrade in trouble, stood up on his wounded and bleeding feet, and snatching a lathi from a police guard, hit everyone right and left. Many of them were hit so hard that they ran for their life, and even prevented the armed guards sent to reinforce them from coming near the Sikh prisoners, saying, "They are Punjabi Sikhs. Do not go near them. They will kill you with the lathi. Run for your life." The whole military force sent to arrest those unarmed wounded prisoners ran for their life. Now the way was cleared for them to escape. All the 18 prisoners jumped over the wall. There was a terrible uproar in the prison, as it was middle of the night, and no one dared to come near a Sikh prisoner. They did not even dare to touch the Sikh prisoners who were freely moving within the prison walls. Like cowards, all the armed guards hid themselves from 12 p.m. to 3 a.m. The story of this successful breakthrough through the double-locked cells is also heroic. In the middle of the night, Bhai Natha Singh and Bhai Sucha Singh made an opening in the roof and went out of it on top of the roof. Bhai Arjun Singh and Bhai Ganda Singh Nihang started singing the Chandi Diwar and Sabds in tune with the musical sound made by striking two metal plates against each other like cymbals. They had procured iron chisels from outside a few days earlier. Unfortunately, the chisels were not strong enough. They made an aperture which was not large enough to enable a person to get through it. Natha Singh, however, got through it. Bhai Sucha Singh got stuck up. Natha Singh somehow managed to pull him through it. Stealthily, they moved forward and pounced on the Bihari sentry. They gave him a few blows when he tried to shout and tied his mouth, hands, and feet. At this moment, the following lines of Chandi Diwar were sung. Brothers attacked brothers, taking them to be Durga. As soon as the police guard was given the first blow, he shouted, "Why do you beat me? I am your Indian brother." He was beaten because he was the guard on duty. Otherwise, he was generally very sympathetic. He was tried hand and foot, and Sucha Singh put on his uniform and belt and stood on guard. He answered the call of other policemen on duty, saying, "Everything is all right here." Soon the Jamadar came there. He carried all the keys of the prison in a bag. He was caught and tied to a pillar and was gagged. His uniform was put on by Natha Singh. While he was struggling, the Jamadar in charge threw the keys of the prison away on the grass close by. The first bunch of keys which Sucha Singh was able to get was that of the prison special block, which he took and immediately opened all the prison cells. All the 18 prisoners came out. The 19th prisoner, Vasaka Singh Jr., was afraid to join the prison breakers. Overjoyed by the success of their bid to win freedom, they bypassed the sentry watching over the tower and came to my cell. In a hurry, they were not able to get the keys of my cell. They had plans to tie up the sentry in the prison tower and give a good thrashing to the Tirakdari Brahmin warder, and also to punish Vadwaran for his misdeeds. But there was no time at their disposal. It was already 3 a.m. If they had time, they would certainly have trounced and chastised Vadwaran. While coming to the Punjabi block, they gagged the sentry of block 1 and then of number 3. Two of her comrades came to open the lock of my cell, while the other two held the sentry of block number 2. Who almost fainted when they caught him and gagged him. From midnight to 3 a.m., the prison was completely under the control of the Sikh political prisoners. When a new batch of guards came from outside at 3 a.m., the alarm was sounded. Almost all of the prisoners planning to escape were as yet within the prison when the alarm was heard. Those who had jumped down from the walls in hot haste were unable to move on. 13 others who were able to walk were prepared to carry them, but they refused to put their comrades in such difficulty which might prevent their escape. They advised them to make good of their escape and not to worry about them. They would face the worst. Two of these 13 prisoners could walk but had wounded feet. Those two, Bhai Hira Singh and Sadhu Rajinder Singh, accompanied the runaway prisoners, but found it difficult to go beyond 2 miles. Their companions carried them by turn for another 6 or 7 miles. When they reached a forest, they refused to be carried further, and thus prevented the escape of the other 11 companions also. They compelled their 11 companions to run away from the danger zone as fast as possible. 5 wounded comrades, by Pakar Singh of Tudike, by Lal Singh of Narangwal, by Sundar Singh of Dolu Nangar, by Harnam Singh of Kalasanga, by Kesar Singh of Sur Singh, quietly moved to some nearby barley fields and hid themselves in a pit in the fields. There was an intensive search by the military force far and near, but not a single prisoner was caught. At about 10 a.m., the search was almost given up. Soon after that, a group of villagers were passing by a field. Their dog began to bark. They turned back and found the dog barking at a sick prisoner hiding in a pit. They informed the prison authorities that some people in uniform were hiding in the pit. Armed policemen came there and started beating by Harnam Singh, who was the first to be found. By Sundar Singh of Dolu Nangal could not bear to see his wounded companion being beaten in this way. It appeared that a pack of jackals had pounced on a wounded tiger. Although Sundar Singh's feet were wounded, he came out like lightning and wrestling a lathi with a spear end from one of the policemen. He hit them right and left and brought to the ground 6 of them. Others ran for their life. They begged Sundar Singh to surrender peacefully on the condition that he and his companions would not be beaten or maltreated. As soon as he surrendered, he was beaten to a pulp. Yet Sundar Singh did not take the beating without retaliating with his hands and wounded feet. Everyone was stunned by his courage and unconquerable spirit. Then they searched the fields and found the other runaway prisoners who were hiding close by. The cowards pounced on these helpless wounded lions and tortured them with vengeance. Although all the 5 freedom fighters were half dead and merely unconscious by beating, not one of them begged for mercy, and not one of them uttered a cry of pain. No one dared to come near them as long as Sundar Singh held the lathi in his hands. Everyone was astonished at the heroism and courage of the 6. They wondered what they were really made of, and what made them so fearless. There is some special quality in this land of 5 rivers, which makes the sons of this soil so fearless that they mock at death in the face of greatest suffering and pain. They would never behave like cowards. When they were beaten so much that they became half dead, they were taken to the prison and locked in dark cells. For days together, they were neither given a drop of water, nor any medicine, nor their wounds bandaged. Even unwanted dogs are never treated that way. It was a cold season, and those merciless tyrants neither gave them a cot nor even a blanket to cover their body. When we came to know of this inhuman cruelty, our blood began to boil in anger and resentment, but we were utterly helpless. We had nothing to offer them except silent prayer and the hope that God would help them to face this terrible ordeal they were facing. Everyone had turned against them. The doctors, the camp hunters, were strictly ordered not to go near them. Everyone was after their life. They struggled for survival with great willpower. Without a morsel of food and a drop of water, they were left to starve and die of thirst. It appears that the tyrants were determined to let them die of thirst and starvation, but who can kill them whom God wishes to save? Who can bring death to them who is protected by God? The hunter may try to kill a deer, but it will not be injured if God wishes to save it. The story of suffering of these freedom fighters is long and bitter. It is sufficient to tell it in as few words as possible. The other 2, who had fled to the forest, were also caught and beaten still more mercilessly. They were also thrown into separate cells, almost half dead. Now I will tell you my story. The day the political prisoners escaped, we were kept locked up in our cells for the whole day and night. We were not given any food or water. We were not even allowed to go near the latrine or urinate outside our cells. No one removed the filth and pots out of our prison cells. I was extremely worried about the misery and sorrowful plight of my companions. We helplessly groaned and moaned, the terrible lot of our comrades. No one came near us. Strong guards were posted on all sides. The prison authorities feared that the prisoners who had escaped might try to help us escape. Armed guards were posted on all prison towers and key points. The news spread like wildfire, and this newspaper gave a fairly good account of the escape. The Statesman in Calcutta published a story under the headline, A Daring Deed. The very next evening, the Inspector General of Prisons, Baba Jeevan Singh, came there boiling with rage. The first thing he did in hot haste was to take very stringent measures to control the prisoners with an iron band. Chains and crossbars were clamped around our hands and feet. Provision of great good food was stopped. The most rotten dry bread was provided. We were deprived of all clothes except our kashera. All our gurkhe and religious literature was taken away from us. After taking the most severe steps, he came for a round in our barracks. After inspecting other cells, he came and stood before my prison cell, red with uncontrolled wrath. He was shaking from his head to foot with rage. Eyeing me with angry looks, he ordered, "He will no more be permitted to cook his own food from today onwards." I quietly replied, "So I have to suffer for the misdeeds of someone else. The cow and the sheep are now classed by you in the same category. What sort of justice is this?" The general inspector replied, "Yes, Bhaiji, one buffalo has spoiled the whole pond. You are the cause of all the troubles. All have escaped under your command and plan." I told him, "If I helped them escape, then why did I not escape?" The inspector general to this replied, "You could not get out of your cell and join the prison breakers. They tried to open your lock, but could not do so. They had the wrong bunch of keys with them. Had they succeeded in opening your lock, you too would have escaped." A sentry replied, "No, sir, he refused to accompany them. They were ready to break the lock, but the saint advised them to go back to their cells." The inspector general says, "The alarm was sounded, otherwise he would have made good on his escape. I have definite proof of the fact that he planned and abetted the escape." To this I told him, "You have absolutely no proof, but Vadwaram has certainly misguided you. You are now beside yourself with anger. When your mind is a little composed and you investigate facts, the truth will be revealed. I'm not worried about myself. You can stop giving me my food. I have patience enough to face the bitterest ordeal as the sweet will of God. God will take care of me in the way he thinks best. But I am shocked at the humanity and injustice heaped on our wounded companions. While they try to escape, they have committed a crime. Punish them for it according to the law of the country. May I know according to which law they have been treated in such an inhumane way that they were beaten to a pulp, although they were already badly injured. When they were half dead and unconscious, they were thrown into the dungeon. They have not been given a drop of water, nor any medical treatment for the injuries that they have suffered from barbaric beating. What law has authorized you to treat these political prisoners in this way? After seeing them treated in such inhuman manner, I was myself going on hunger strike. Your orders are meaningless to me. As long as you do not look after my wounded companions, and as long as they are not humanly treated, I will not take a morsel of food. While they are suffering such inhuman acts, treatments, even to drink water would be like drinking blood." The inspector general angrily replied, "You people, and particularly these companions of yours who have escaped, have brought me a very bad name. The harsher the treatment accorded to them, the better." To this I tell him, "It is your maladministration that has brought you a bad name. Neither are I nor my Yoronbi companions are to be blamed. When you came for a visit to this prison, I told you frankly that you should transfer Vadwaram from here. Otherwise, his treatment of the prisoners would give you a bad turn to the affairs of the prison here. You promised that he would be transferred, but God alone knows how he influenced you again in the wrong direction, and you retained him here. He started heaping more insults and injury upon the prisoners, and it is his ill treatment that made the prisoners much more desperate than before. He disobeyed all your orders, He mixed sand with atta, with flour, and adulterated our food in various ways. We served him a number of notices to desist from this barbaric treatment, but he did not care a fig for a repeated warning. We then wrote down all of our complaints against him and sent them to you through the superintendent, but he suppressed them and did not allow our letters to reach you. And when the prisoners became desperate, they took the extreme step. They tried to escape from this hellish treatment. What else could they do? After listening to the strong protest, the inspector general went away quietly, and my hunger strike began. No ration was supplied to me, and nothing was cooked. God alone knew when I would get my next meal. For me, my life was in his hands. The Almighty. If he wanted my body to survive, he, the giver of sustenance, would help me to survive without food as long as he willed it. The main sustenance of my spirit, the divine name, was with me. No earthly power could take it away from me. He who is blessed with his name cares not for any other food. My clash with the inspector general had not one good effect on him. The wounded prisoners were given medical aid, and some food, and the hunger strike of the prisoners ended. The treatment of other prisoners was better than what was expected to be, but I went without food for days together. After stopping the supply of daily rations to me, everyone forgot of my very existence. Such torture had its natural reactions, but the Guru has by his grace given infinite tolerance and powers of endurance to his Sikhs. Je sukh de tato jai radhi, dukh pito jai tiai. Je pukh de tat ithi raja, dukh vich sukh manai. If thou givest me happiness, I shall worship thee. If thou givest sorrow, then even then I will adore thee. If thou givest hunger, I will remain contented. In sorrow, I will sing the songs of joy. By Guru Ram Das. It appeared to me that God was putting me to test whether as a devout Sikh I could live in tranquil peace under such tribulations and sufferings. He was giving me an object in considering joy and sorrow alike. By giving me the spiritual gift of his name, all hunger had been dispelled. A fortnight passed in peace and contentment. Getting no food, I passed my days and nights in the contemplation of divine name, in the joy of his spiritual experience and illumination of its light. I felt no hunger or thirst. I retained this mental poise by the grace of the true Guru. I had gone through such trials before, so the experience was nothing new. Live, O brother, as God wills thee to live, says Namdev. God had already seasoned me with the determined faith in high spiritual ideal. About 17 days now passed without a morsel of food or a drop of water. All these days I survived on the soul spiritual sustenance of contemplating the divine. Then I saw some strange visions of a better future which passed first through my mind and were then also visualized by Pai Kirpa Singh, whose sudden turn to spiritual practice gave him some clairvoyant powers.